your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Everyone all set? Cocked? Locked? This is hour number two of USAprepares.com. Class, this is a very, very serious topic. You might not believe what you're about to hear. I want you to think very, very carefully of what this means to you and your family. About 16 years ago, a high school girl was raped and murdered. And a man was imprisoned for that murder. That man is a USAprepares.com instructor. You're going to meet him right now. A convicted murderer. His appeals went all the way, multiple appeals went all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States of America. All appeals failed. That man spent 16 years in jail. Maximum security. Hard time. For murder. It was found out through DNA evidence that that man did not commit the crime. Now I want you to think about your worst fear. Might it be that you would be hauled away and arrested, put in jail, facing a lifetime of hard time in prison? With thugs and rapists and sex offenders, others in control of your life, and you didn't do the crime. The trusted system, the system that we believed in, failed us. We're going to discuss that today. Jeffrey Deskovic was convicted wrongly of murder. He spent 16 hard years in maximum security. Jeffrey, welcome.
Thanks for having me on, Vincent.
You know, what we're going to discuss should be sending chills up everyone's spine. Jeffrey, why don't we start with what happened? What happened to you that caused, what were the events that led up to this? You were 16 years old.
I was 16 years old at the time I was arrested, yes. You know, a high school classmate in Peekskill, New York, which is in Westchester County, was found murdered and raped. Peekskill was a really small town with a population of, say, 25,000 people, and murders were very rare. When this murder happened, understandably, it created an atmosphere of fear, rumor, and paranoia. You know, parents were concerned with their own safety as well as the safety of their children. In the course of the police investigation, they interviewed some of the students in the school, and some of them told the police that they might want to talk to me because I was quiet, I was withdrawn, I was to myself. So this is what the police said initially attracted them to me. The other factor which they said attracted them to me was that they said that I was overly upset at the victim having been murdered. Yet this murder shook up the whole town to the point where free mental health services were offered to the entire city. The other factor which I guess was a reinforcement was that they had the NYPD put together a profile of what they thought the actual perpetrator would resemble. And I happened to match that. Ultimately, I was driven out of I was driven from Peekskill, which is in Westchester County, transported to the town of Brewster, which is in Putnam County, and I was coerced into a false confession, which ultimately led to my wrongful conviction.
Jeffrey, how is it possible that a police department could coerce a person, you, into a How'd they do it?
It's a great
what are the techniques that they use?
Sure, it's a great question because it seems on its face to be counterintuitive. But, you know, in point of fact, false confessions are the cause of wrongful convictions, and 25% of the now 311 DNA proven wrongful convictions. And although adults have been known to be coerced into false confession experts have identified particularly vulnerable populations as being youth as well as those with mental health problems. Here are the tactics they employed specifically in my case. First, they drove me to the town of Brewster, which was on a school day. So firstly, that meant I didn't know where I was. I was totally dependent on the police. Neither my mother nor my grandmother, with whom I lived with, realized that anything was wrong because it was a school day. They thought I was in school, and hence they did not call around looking for me. They put me into a small room. I didn't have an attorney present. I wasn't given anything to eat the entire time I was there. They attached a polygraph machine to me. The polygraphist himself was actually Putnam County Sheriff's Investigator by the name of Daniel Stevens, who was pretending to be a civilian. Before starting the polygraph test, he gave me countless cups of coffee, and the reason why that's important is because the premise of the polygraph is that when a person lies, you'll become nervous, and your nervousness will result in a sped up pulse rate, and it is that pulse rate which is actually read by the machine. The problem is that other factors which will cause the pulse rate to speed up would include fear and caffeine. So the coffee was part of the setup. They played good cop, bad cop, in which one officer takes on a more aggressive role where the other pretends to be a friend who's opposed to what's happening yet somehow powerless to intervene. And, of course, the purpose of that is that when a person's being questioned, it didn't become frightened. It's only natural to look to a friendly face for assistance. So there were three police officers over there, Lieutenant Tumlo, Detectives McIntyre and Levine, and then the Putnam County Sheriff's Investigator, Daniel Stevens, who was pretending not to be a cop. So they put me in a small room, and he started his third-degree tactics. I mean, he invaded my personal space. He raised his voice at me. He kept asking me the same questions over and over again. He got getting more and more ferocious as each hour passed. As each hour passed, so too did my fear grow in proportion to the time. Towards the end of the interrogation, he made a statement to me, and he said, "What do you mean you didn't do it? You just told me through the test that you did. We just want you to verbally confirm this." So at that point, my fear really shot through the roof. And it was at that point that the police officer, who was pretending to be my friend, he entered the room, and he informed me that the other officers were going to harm me, but that he was holding them off but could not do so indefinitely, that I had to help myself. Considering that I had maintained my innocence for the previous 7.5 hours, it was clear what he meant by that. They wanted me to confess. And it was added that if I did as they wanted, not only would they stop what they were doing, but that I could go home afterwards. Being young, naive, frightened, 16 years old, not thinking about the long-term implications, instead being concerned with my own safety in the moment, I took the out which they offered. I made up a statement. I made up a story based upon information which they had given me in the course of their interrogation. By the police officer's own testimony, by the end of the interrogation, I was on the floor in a fetal position, crying uncontrollably. Needless to say, I was arrested. I was charged with the murder and rape. Now, before I went to trial, the results of a DNA test result came in from the FBI lab, which showed that semen found in the victim didn't match. But instead of acknowledging they made a mistake, they instead continued to prosecute me full speed ahead. And this is where prosecutorial misconduct, the part of Prosecutor George Bowen and the medical examiner, Dr. Lewis Rowe, comes into play. Firstly, when an autopsy is done, the written and audio notes are done contemporaneously as the findings are made. It was only after the DNA didn't match, 6 months after doing that initial autopsy, that suddenly for the first time the medical examiner claimed that he found evidence that the victim, a 15-year-old immigrant from Colombia living a really sheltered life in the country for a mere year and a half, in which she never went out save accompanied by her parents or her older sister, that she had been sexually active, which is what opened the door for the prosecutor to claim that it didn't matter, that my semen wasn't found in her, because it could have come from consensual sex. He even took it a step further, naming somebody by name that he claimed that the victim had this encounter with. Yet he never performed a DNA test to prove that assertion he just made, nor did he call this other youth as a witness to give verbal testimony. He just made the unsupported argument to the jury. At the same time, the lawyer that was representing me, a public defender, because I didn't have any money with which to hire a private lawyer, nor did my family, he was not very good. Here's some of the things that he did that didn't do. Firstly, when the medical examiner committed that fraud and was time for cross-examination, he stood up in open court and with a big smile on his face, as if him and the medical examiner were friends from way back in the day, said to him, "You're going to be pleased to know that I don't have a single question for you." He never explained to the jury the significance of the DNA not matching me, nor used it to argue that the so-called confession was coerced and false. He never interviewed nor called as a witness my alibi. I was, in fact, playing wiffle ball at the time that the crime was committed. The judge came to him off the record when we hadn't decided what type of trial we were going to have and said to him, "Pick a jury because I don't want to be responsible for finding your client not guilty." Then he was supposed to call this other youth as a witness, investigate him, and just generally explode the whole consensual sex theory in order to make the DNA test results stand up, except that he should have never represented me from the first place, because that other youth was represented not only by another member of the Legal Aid Society, but, in fact, his supervisor, who was supposed to be advising him as to my case, so that conflict of interest hindered justice.
Class, what you are hearing is absolutely terrifying. It is your worst fear right here. You're hearing it live on USAPrepares.com. Jeffrey Deskovic now is speaking out about the injustice of the system. We'll be right back.
So you think your basement will save your family? Think again. A separate, certified safe room placed in the basement, properly anchored to the floor, offers the best chance of survival and protection. And the best safe room you can buy is at Missouri Storm Shelters. You saw them at USAPrepares.com Expo. Missouri Storm Shelters has the largest selection of certified storm shelters in the world, tested against winds up to 250 miles per hour. That exceeds the EF5 rating. Missouri Storm Shelters meet or exceed FEMA's 320 and 360 recommended standards, and also NSSA and ICC 500 standards. See Missouri Storm Shelters right here in Nixon, Missouri, or online at MissouriStormShelters.com, or call for pricing and details at 417-725-0055, 417-725-0055. Missouri Storm Shelters, because basements won't save your family.
Hi, this is Eric Hamburg with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Ever wonder why billionaires like Warren Buffett, John Paulson are dumping their shares of U.S. company stocks? Do they know something we don't? No investor wants to own stocks with falling profit margins and shrinking dividends. Is it possible a 1987-style market crash is coming? Are these investors aware of a massive correction of up to 90%? Call me, Eric Hamburg, at 800-686-2237, extension 120, and find out why gold and silver are the only true safe haven. With event-driven risks, such as volatility in the financial market and conflict in Syria and the Middle East, the sky is the limit for gold and silver. That's Eric Hamburg, 800-686-2237, extension 120, and I'll send you a brochure explaining why gold and silver are the only way to preserve your purchasing power. As a currency's value crumbles and gold being priced in dollars, metals' value will skyrocket. Again, that's Eric Hamburg, Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 120.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. UtopiaSilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now UtopiaSilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Class, it's not often that I'm at a loss for words, but Ken Hurley's in the studio with me. We're broadcasting live from the farm today. And that's because we're going up to Indiana to come to the rescue of a farmer, Mark Baker, who has been threatened by the Department of Natural Resources of the state of Michigan. They want him to kill his farm animals, and he's facing a $700,000 fine. The fine is probably up to $1.5 million. The state of Michigan is threatening this man. They're saying that his pigs are wild. They're not wild. And so some of the USAPrepares.com instructors are going to his rescue. If you'd like to learn more about where we're going this weekend, go to USAPrepares.com, page one, and you can read the post. And if you'd like to join us, we'd love to meet you and say hello. So we're going to Seven Sons Farm. We'll be there tomorrow, Saturday. So if you'd like to come see us and say hello and support your safe food, we will be there. We'd love to see you. Post is on the website. But Ken Hurley's in the studio with me, and the Dollar Heights are coming, John and Judy Dollar Height. They should be here very shortly. And Ken was looking at me during the break, and I was absolutely speechless. And I said, I'm speechless. Jeffrey Deskovic is with us. He's our newest instructor. He's been convicted of murder. He's been exonerated. And it's the worst thing that I think could happen. We have a polygraph administrator for the government who acted as if he was a civilian. We've had the good guy, bad cop. Good cop, bad cop, playing mental games with a 16-year-old. Totally at the disadvantage of the 16-year-old. They forced a confession out of him. They ramped him up and amped him up on coffee to make the polygraph work against the alleged criminal. The whole system was working against Jeffrey Deskovic. And you're going to find out this went all the way to the Supreme Court. And they didn't help. Jeffrey, the medical examiner committed fraud. They coerced a confession out of you. You were 16 years old, frightened, never been through anything like this before, all alone, being mentally bruised, beaten, bludgeoned by these thugs that work for us. This whole thing is outrageous. How long did they deprive you of food?
The entire time I was there. I was there for at least 7.5 hours.
How about something to drink?
No. Well, yeah, they provided me with plenty of coffee, but beyond that, no.
And were you a habitual coffee drinker prior to this?
Absolutely not.
Wow. Wow. You know, class, if you're not a coffee drinker and you have a couple cups of coffee, it really messes you up. And so they're yelling at you, screaming at you, just like you see on TV?
Yes. Yes, yes, they were. And, you know, I want to add that I was in fear of my life.
Well, sure.
When he made the threat that the officers were going to harm me, and it dawned on me, knew what nobody knew where I was, that, you know, and that I didn't even know really where I was. I was afraid of my life. I was afraid of my life.
Were you in handcuffs?
No, I was not. It was only after they forced their story from me that they put me in handcuffs.
Did they lie to you?
Yes, they did. Yes, because they got me to agree to take the polygraph in the first place, because for a period of 6 weeks prior to that, they played this mental game with me, in which half the time they would talk to me as if I was a suspect, and the other half the time they would pretend as though that I was their assistant, like, you know, they needed my help to solve the crime. They would say things to me like, the kids won't talk freely around us, they will around you, let us know if you hear any rumors, stop in from time to time. And so in that context, they asked me to take the polygraph. They claimed that they had some new information that had come in that would be helpful if they were able to share it with me, but they needed me to take and pass a polygraph. So a convoluted help us to help you to help us type of thing was the ruse that they utilized in order to get me to agree to the test in the first place.
Did you know that you could have refused the polygraph, or did they let you think that you couldn't refuse?
Once they wired me up to the machine and started interrogating me, carrying on like that, I didn't think I could stop anything.
There you go. We're going to talk about a murder conviction, a wrongful conviction, and going to prison for 16 years for a crime he didn't commit. We'll be right back.
September is National Preparedness Month in the U.S., and it's National Savings Month at Freeze Dry Guy. Are you prepared to save? All Mountain House freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans are now 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These long-lasting foods for emergency preparedness with a guaranteed 25-year shelf life are 40% off at Freeze Dry Guy. Guy.com. These easy foods for camping, backpacking, hunting, and sailing are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These delicious foods, freeze-dried to lock in the taste, aroma, and freshness, are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. All cans of Mountain House freeze-dried meats, entrees, fruits, and veggies are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. Be prepared and save 40% now through September 30th at freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD.
We can buy GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Ginny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LeCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LeCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LeCig a long time ago. LeCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LeCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LeCig.com or call 870-525-1440, 870-525-1440. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Hi there. My name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123coverup.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are, incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you will be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123coverup.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123coverup.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123coverup.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's 123coverup.com.
It's gonna be sliding.
What are today's hot?
Cheater.
God, you're
take my
when you go for 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
Class, John Jay was one of the founding fathers of the United States. And he was the first Chief Justice of the United States. And a College of Criminal Justice was named after him, John Jay. It's the John Jay College of Criminal Justice. It's in New York, and it is one of the top 10 colleges of criminal justice in the United States of America. Jeffrey Deskovic is a graduate of John Jay. He graduated with a master's degree. You can hear he's articulate, succinct, to the point. Jeffrey, you must be considered the most improved student ever at John Jay, convicted of murder to having a master's degree in criminal justice.
I agree. It's mind-boggling. I still can't believe it myself.
Let me ask you, how old are you right now?
38.
So you're 38. You spent a lot of time, 16 years behind bars, for a crime that you did not commit. May we, is this the point, Jeff, we're going to have to go, this is 101, class 101. We'll go through 102, 103, 104, 105. We have a lot more that we need to talk about. Would you like to talk, continue about what happened, or would you like to talk about what prison is like? And we can go into in-depth in future classes. Where would you like to go? What makes the most sense to you at this point?
I'd like to discuss my legal odyssey, and then from there discuss the prison experience.
Okay, let's go right into the legal odyssey.
Okay, so at the day of the I couldn't believe when the jury pronounced the words guilty, because to my way of thinking, at least up until that point in time, only guilty people were convicted. Mm-hmm. Yet they said what they did, and I was taken into custody. On the day of the sentencing, I begged the judge to overturn the verdict because I was innocent, and I referenced the DNA to support my contention. Fasten your seatbelts on this one, Vince. He actually told me, on the record, maybe you are innocent, conceding that there was doubt. But that didn't lead him to step up for justice and exercise his discretion by overturning the verdict. Instead, he took the easy, politically expedient way out of sentencing me to a term of imprisonment of 15 to life. Let me explain how the legal system continued to fail me in an all-too-typical rubber stamp denial variety that is normally the order of the day in the appellate process. I went to the appellate division with my primary issues being, number one, my innocence as demonstrated by the DNA, and that my Fifth Amendment rights had been violated. The appellate division found nothing wrong with the way I'd been questioned, and furthermore, they ruled that, in their opinion, that there was overwhelming evidence of guilt, which makes no sense because the forensics were on my behalf. They ruled against me 5-0. My lawyer moved to re-argue the case in front of them, arguing that their decision was contrary to the facts of the law, but the re-argument motion was denied. I went to the New York State Court of Appeals, the highest court in the state, where the procedure is that you have to obtain permission from the court before they'll agree to actually get to the merits of your issues. Court of Appeals told me that there was no merit in law to justify reviewing my case, and so they were declining to give me permission to appeal to them. I then went to federal court, filing a petition for writ of habeas corpus, which is when a state prisoner is arguing that his or her conviction is running contrary to the United States Constitution. Again, my issues primarily were my innocence and my Fifth Amendment rights. Now, at that time, there was confusion in the federal court system because 1 year prior, Congress had passed and President Clinton had signed into law the Anti-Terrorism Effective Death Penalty Act, which in relevant part stated that all state prisoners would have 1 year to file in state and federal court after being denied by their state's highest court. The confusion in the system centered around how would this new law apply to cases already in the system, and different jurisdictions were answering the question in different ways. So my attorney called the court clerk and asked, would it be enough that my petition simply be postmarked on the due date, or did it have to be physically filed and in the building on the due date? The court clerk told my attorney that it would be enough that my petition be postmarked. Unfortunately, that turned out to be false, and as a result of that, my petition arrived 4 days too late. Former Westchester County District Attorney Janine Pirro, who now has a judge show, by the way, Justice with Janine and Judge Janine Pirro, her office took the position that those 4 days were somehow prejudicial to the people, and therefore the court should simply rule that I was late without getting to the merits of my arguments. And that is exactly the position that the court took. That meant I was time-barred, which meant I was no longer able to argue my issues directly, but I was instead relegated to arguing that the procedural ruling against me was inaccurate. So I appealed that ruling to the Federal Court of Appeals, where the judges on the circuit were Rosemary Pooler and future United States Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor. My attorney advanced the following arguments as to why the procedural ruling should be overturned. Number one, it was on delay caused by myself and my attorney, but by the court clerk. that upholding a ruling such as that would be to cause a miscarriage of justice to continue, which introduces the DNA and the innocence argument as a contextual issue, and that overturning the procedure ruling would open the door for more sophisticated DNA testing of the type which would go on to clear me 7 years later. Once again, the DA opposed, and once again, the court sided with the district attorney. My lawyer moved to re-argue the case in front of them, requesting that all the judges on that circuit, en banc, hear and rule on the case. But the re-argument motion was again denied by Justice Sonia Sotomayor and Rosemary Pooler. I then applied to the U.S. Supreme Court to seek permission, but they declined to give that to me. That marked the end of my appeals and the end of legal representation. By this time, we're in 2001, so I have about 10, 11 years in at that point. So, with my appeals exhausted, I was no longer furnished with any sort of legal representation. So the path going forward would be that I'd have to somehow find an attorney who'd take my case for free, find an investigator who would do the same, and then hope that together, in conjunction, that they could somehow find some previously unknown evidence of innocence, without which the court was no longer willing to hear from me. So I began this massive letter-writing campaign for the next 4 to 5 years, writing reporters, faith-based organizations, not-for-profit agencies, you name it. If there was a line of reasoning that I could come up with in my mind as to how they could help me either directly or indirectly, I took it and I wrote. And I very rarely heard back from anybody. Eventually, I accidentally wound up in touch with an investigator. I was actually writing a book author in care of a publishing company, and someone at the company sent a letter to the investigator, whose name was Claudia Whitman. She wrote me back right away. She tried to get places to take my case, and she gave me ideas. One of her ideas was turned out to be the winning one, which was write the Innocence Project, which is a not-for-profit-based group in Manhattan, which works to clear wrongfully convicted prisoners in instances where DNA testing can demonstrate innocence. The problem with them, when I originally wrote in 92-93, was that we didn't have a DNA data bank, and they had never encountered a case in which a conviction had taken place in the face of a pre-existing DNA exclusion. So the DNA couldn't be used as something new at that point. So the investigator told me that with the advent of advancement in technology, the prior denial was irrelevant. So write them again. So I did that, and about 6 months later, seemingly out of the blue, they wrote me back and informed me that they were taking my case. By this time, Pirro had left office, and was, you know, her successor agreed to allow me to have further DNA testing without having to litigate over it. And the results matched that of the actual perpetrator, whose DNA was only in the data bank because left free. While I did time for his crime, he struck again, killing another victim 3.5 years later. Confronted with this evidence, he admitted he was the person who committed the crime. So on September 20th, 2006, my conviction was overturned, went back to court on November 2nd, 2006, at which point all the charges against me were dismissed on the grounds of actual innocence. He, on the other hand, was arrested, pled guilty, and was sentenced for the crime. And at that point, I was free to start my life over again without any governmental assistance.
Wow. Let me see if I've got this right. You were wrongfully imprisoned.
Yeah.
They let you out of prison because they should have.
Yes.
And they didn't help you in any way, shape, or form figure out what to do next.
You understand correctly.
Jeffrey, you have been out. You have been brutalized to the greatest extent. You have been withheld from a lot of what was happening socially, economically, technologically. You have missed 16 years of your life, and these guys say, okay, get out of here. Did anybody ever apologize for all the wrongs?
No. The sad commentary, the only person who had a hand in anything that apologized, and this speaks to how low the people who were involved in this, I mean, were, the only person who apologized was the actual perpetrator, who in a deposition in the course of my litigation, from the stand, he apologized to me, said claiming that if he knew that if I was in prison doing time for his crime, he would have come forward. Other than that, nobody, None of the actors involved in what happened to me ever apologized.
They stole 16 years of your life. Possibly a quarter to a fifth to a sixth of it. Your best years.
Yes.
No one apologized. Jeffrey Deskovic, do you think that these guys have notches on their guns, notches on their badges, and they are striving to get an increase in recognition, an increase in visibility, an increase in income as a result of putting people in jail, whether they deserve it or not?
Without a doubt. The lieutenant wound up becoming the police chief. Bureau who helped keep the ball rolling to me got her judge show, which I can only, you know, presume makes far more money than she would as a DA. I mean, the prosecutor would, you know, got points for winning the case. The polygraphist received a recommendation letter from the then Lieutenant Tumulo, which she then
Jeffrey,
used to...
Hold that thought. We'll name the names when we come back. Jeffrey Deskovic.
So you think your basement will save your family? Think again. A separate, certified safe room placed in the basement, properly anchored to the floor, offers the best chance of survival and protection. And the best safe room you can buy is at Missouri Storm Shelters. You saw them at USAPrepares.com Expo. Missouri Storm Shelters has the largest selection of certified storm shelters in the world, tested against winds up to 250 miles per hour. That exceeds the EF5 rating. Missouri Storm Shelters meet or exceed FEMA's 320 and 360 recommended standards, and also NSSA and ICC 500 standards. See Missouri Storm Shelters right here in Nixon, Missouri, or online at MissouriStormShelters.com, or call for pricing and details at 417-725-0055, 417-725-0055, Missouri Storm Shelters, because basements won't save your family. Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
You are now in the crosshairs. The NSA and FBI are treating you like a criminal and monitoring your every move. Ron Paul said recently, the evidence of the totalitarian nature of this government is on display undeniably every day. What's taking place right now is a coup and the destruction of the Constitution. Fortunately, there is something you can do about it. Learn how to be invisible, lock down your privacy, and even disappear forever. Go to privacylockdown.com to learn how. That's privacylockdown.com.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to FakeTV.com. That's 877-532-5388 or FakeTV.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Tees. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, A-L-K-A-Vision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Class, this is an unbelievable story. Jeffrey Deskovic was convicted of murder, wrongfully. And all the characters, all the players, seem to have done really well, except for Jeffrey. Jeffrey, let's go through that one more time. So what happened? We've got one person became the chief of police. Another person became a TV star as a judge. Let's go through that, please.
Sure. The polygraphist himself made quite a little career for himself, largely on my back, because after receiving the recommendation letter for what he did to me with a polygraph, he got a lot of pre-employment polygraph work in Peekskill.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge who kept things going against me as far as on the federal court level, sustaining twice the 4 days late technicality I went over before, Sonia Sotomayor became a U.S. Supreme Court justice. So everybody...
Wow. We have a Supreme Court justice, we have a chief of police, we have a movie star or a TV star, all on the backs of people who were beaten by the system. Outrageous. Jeffrey, have you heard from any of the jury?
I did. One of the jurors contacted my civil rights lawyer, and she informed my lawyer that she had saw news coverage of my exoneration and that she was happy that I was free because she never thought that I was guilty. And so my lawyer...
Well, hold it right there. You're saying that one of the jurors was happy that you were released because she thought you weren't guilty?
Yes.
So she was involved in your conviction and she was happy because you were released. How did she reconcile that? She was one that put you in maximum security prison for 16 years.
You're right. She doesn't reconcile it. She offers the following other statements for whatever any of the listeners might take it to be worth. My lawyer asked her the obvious question. Well, if you didn't think he was guilty, why did you vote that way? And she said that at that point it was 11-1 towards conviction. She was the last holdout. And she said that she felt pressured. And furthermore, the jury had sent out a question to the judge asking that if they didn't come up with a decision, whether they would be sequestered over the Christmas vacation or whether they'd be allowed to go home to their families and come back. And upon learning that they would, in fact, be sequestered, that's why, they didn't want to be sequestered. That was why she gave in. So in order to, I guess, enjoy her turkey dinner and time with her family, she rushed out of there, even though she remained unconvinced by their argument, by any of the other jurors' arguments as to the merits of my innocence or guilt. And I got out of there and got back to my family 16 years later.
Jeffrey, you're saying that a woman was so concerned about her turkey dinner and meeting her family for Christmas that they threw you overboard. Is that what you're saying?
It is. In no uncertain terms.
It's a national disgrace. Absolute national disgrace. I'm outraged. I would love to have her on the air with me and have her explain to the world exactly why she was derelict in her duty as a juror. There's got to be a special place in hell for people. Who don't take their obligations seriously and are willing to throw someone overboard and actually put you in jail for the rest of your life for a crime you didn't commit because she's worried about her turkey dinner and her Christmas. I'm outraged. Jeffrey, there's a website, page1usaprepares.com, points to it. The Jeffrey Deskovic Foundation for Justice.org. Jeffrey, I'd like to invite you to come back again and again with me. Is that something that you would consider?
Absolutely. I would love to, because as much as we've covered today, the story is much bigger than that, and I'd love to be able to share it with the world. I think that it's educating.
My name's Bruno. I'm 52 years old. I've tried different protein powders over the years, and they've all tasted pretty bad. I tried One World Whey and found it to be delicious. After 10 weeks on One World Whey, my wife commented, "You have more muscles and you're leaner than when you were 20 years old. My body has changed dramatically." I'm a cyclist. Normally, I'll ride 2 days on and take 2 days off. After being on One World Whey, I rode 10 days in a row in over 100-degree heat, and then I take another 2 servings of One World Whey, and then work out at the gym for another hour and a half. I just couldn't believe these results. My normal muscle tightness and soreness after working out are virtually gone. Don't take my word for it. One World Whey comes in single servings. Just give it a try.
For a health and taste sensation you'll love, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. In February of 2011, although he filled posts in the State Department for more than 2 years, Obama did not fill the post of Religious Freedom Ambassador, an official that works against religious persecution across the world. He filled it only after heavy pressure from the public and from Congress. We'd like to help you to understand how these things are affecting you and will affect you in the near future by offering you an absolutely free 1-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. Call now.